Crimson Swan Studios presents Lilith's Love by Dan Charette, read by the author, and featuring the voice talents of
Michelle Sully,
Danny Cutler,
Carl Long.
She said, "I am older than the mountains and the seas, older even than the stars. Yet I am yours, and you are mine forever, and I shall make thee beautiful in mine eyes." Inscription on the Wizard's Amulet, from the painting Wizard and Genius by Robert John Wolfenden. Chapter 7. By the time Friday night rolled around, Donovan was more at ease with Lilith. They hadn't been able to spend much time together since Tuesday, but he figured that tonight would be different. Chris told Don his plans for the night, and Don wasn't sure what to think when Chris suggested that he and Lilith get to know each other.
"And what would you have me do?" demanded Don, who wasn't really upset, but was trying to make a point.
"I don't know. Cook dinner at their place. You know, to help all bring in all those new appliances."
"Damn, that's actually a good idea," Don thought to himself. "And I suppose I should also bring over a bottle of wine."
"No, too cliche. And maybe too forward for..."
"For what, a first date?"
"Look, I know I'm putting you on the spot here. If you're uncomfortable with this, I'll cancel my date with Anna and..."
"No, I don't want you to do that. I don't want the guilt trip," said Don as he smiled for the first time during the conversation.
"Tell you what, wine's wrong,"
Chris decided. He thought for a moment and then asked,
"But you make a great wine cooler. What do you call it?"
"You mean sangria?"
"Yeah, that stuff. Hey, you could make her some Mexican food. Just try to stay away from the beans."
"Well, then I'd better do some shopping. And you had best get ready for your evening with Anna."
As soon as he got home from the store with his groceries, Don noticed that Chris was gone already with Anna. That meant that he would have to hurry in making his sangria and getting himself ready for tonight. When he finished making the Mexican beverage, he placed it in the refrigerator to chill. He then took the time to freshen himself up and change his clothes. Once he was dressed nice, but casual, he took the bottle of sangria out of the fridge and placed it in one of the bags of groceries needed as ingredients for tonight's supper. Grabbing all of the plastic bags, he was off. He set down his bags on the porch so he could turn on his porch light and lock his front door. Pulling the door shut, he grabbed the bags, distributing the weight between both hands. Taking a deep, calming breath, he walked the short distance from front door to front door. He had to switch bags between hands to be able to knock on Lilith's door when he got there. The porch light turned on and the door opened. Don was rendered breathless when he saw her. She was wearing a sundress, apparently of her own fashion. She styled her long hair to hang down to the left side in large curly wisps, and it was just long enough to rest in front of her left shoulder blade. All Don could do was smile as he realized she could make any outfit look amazing. She smiled back at him and said,
"Come in."
As he shifted the weight of the bags of groceries again and walked into the kitchen, she said,
"You really didn't have to go to all of this trouble."
"It was no problem at all,"
he said as he laid the bags on the kitchen table. First he pulled out the chilled bottle and presented it to her, saying,
"I made us some sangria. I hope you like it."
"I don't usually drink wine, but I have developed a taste for sangria. Thank you."
She took the bottle and put it in her new refrigerator. She showed the virtually empty fridge to Don, and he promised that tonight they would fill it up. The two made small talk while Don cooked their dinner, which consisted of albondigas soup, a quesadilla, and beef and chicken fajitas for two. After they finished eating, continuing their small talk, Don took their plates and put them in the sink, joined there by the pots and pans used. Don apologetically said,
I'm sorry I didn't make sopapillas or something for dessert. I thought that might get messy. Frying something, I mean.
She smiled sweetly and said,
Don, that's quite all right. That was a wonderful meal and I'm quite full. I must say, I'm impressed. Where did you learn to cook like that?
My mom was the best cook in the world, though I guess everyone says that about their mothers. She taught me everything. Her cookbooks don't hurt either.
What's your mother like?
She asked innocently, but Don hadn't told her yet. Don looked down into his lap, as if to find the answer there somehow, and Lilith immediately knew something was wrong.
I'm sorry, when did it happen?
Earlier this year. On my birthday, actually. Both my mom and dad died. Chris has been a good enough friend to stay with me all of this time.
Lilith poured Don some more sangria as he looked up. He thanked her and took a small sip. She looked at him with concern, so he said,
I'm okay, really. I knew you'd ask eventually.
She poured some more sangria for herself, took a sip, then asked,
Is that why you wear the ankh?
He thought about that for a second. Maybe the wine was slowly getting to him because he felt that he could tell her almost anything.
Maybe, partially. But that wasn't the immediate reason.
What was?
It's a symbol of my virginity.
Lilith did everything she could not to choke on her drink when she heard him say that. After the initial shock and humor passed, she asked,
How do you mean?
Well, the ankh is an Egyptian symbol of life, of course, but it is more precisely a fertility symbol.
He took the ankh in his hands and showed it to Lilith as he continued.
If you think about it, the ankh symbol is composed of two parts. The top part, the loop, represents the womb. The bottom part is a phallic symbol.
Well, if it's a fertility symbol, why do you consider it to be a symbol of your virginity?
Because it's made out of silver. Silver is symbolically pure. Plus, the amethyst, besides being my birthstone, is symbolic of purity and protection. So you see, the total ankh charm represents purity as it relates to sex, as it represents my virginity. But it also has a double meaning to me.
How's that?
Well, I also see it as ironic how the ankh represents fertility and sexuality as a bringer of life, when in this day and age, people are dying because of their sexuality, because of AIDS.
I see. It's a truly beautiful ankh.
It means a lot to me. I must admit, though, that its beauty and specialness to me pale in comparison to you.
He couldn't believe he said it. She actually blushed just then.
Maybe I finally broke through his wall.
I've always wondered if there was anyone out there for me. If I would get the chance to fall in love. I kept looking for the right one.
Lilith hadn't loved anyone in a long time, and she didn't think she ever would again. She reluctantly said,
Don, you're a sweet guy, but...
But I didn't tell you the best part, how I know it's you. I dreamt about you, Lily.
Isn't that the most romantic thing you've ever heard?
Do you mean he dreamt about her after or before he met her?
Anna asked, confused, after she ate a spoonful of ice cream.
Before. Long before. For all I know, he's dreamt about her for years. He only recently told me about some of the dreams. He described her to me in almost graphic detail. When I met her, I thought the resemblance was spooky. But Don believes that Lilith is the woman of his dreams.
Wow, you're right. That is romantic.
Anna was trying to cover the uncomfortable feeling she was getting now. She had to ask.
Did Don mention if this woman in his dreams, if it is Lilith, said anything to him?
He doesn't remember much of those kind of details. But one morning he told me that she said the name, or called him Xander.
Anna's face turned white as a ghost, and Chris stopped eating his own ice cream to ask her,
What is it?
She figured now was as good a time as any to ask.
Chris, just offhand, do you read auras?
Actually, yes. Sometimes I pick up very strong vibrations from people. Why do you ask?
How do I ask this? Have you ever seen Don's aura?
You know, his is the hardest to find of anyone I've known. It seems to fade in and out. When I can see it, it seems to be faint violet. Is there something about Don that I should know?
Yes, and more importantly, there's something you should know about Lilith.
Lilith put Don in a trance to help him remember everything from his dream. It was easy to do since the wine had loosened him up a bit. She couldn't believe what he told her, so she asked him to repeat something from the dream that he just said.
I said, "I love you, Lily." Then you leaned close to me and whispered, "I love you, Xander."
Her greatest wish, her loudest prayers, her solitary hope, they were all answered with his revelation.
"After all of these centuries, you've come back to me, Alexander,"
Lilith said aloud to herself.
"What am I going to do with you, my love? After all of this time, what can I do? I need to think. I need to be alone."
She then snapped Don out of his trance and said to him,
"Don, it's getting late. Thank you for tonight. I had a good time. But I have things to do tomorrow, so I'd like to call this good night."
Don didn't know what to say, but he thought he should respect her wishes and go. He hoped he didn't say or do anything wrong. All he said was,
"You're right. It's late. Keep the leftovers here to stock up your fridge, and I'll see you later."
"Yes, and thanks again."
She walked over to him and cautiously gave him a peck on the cheek. Don assumed that this meant it wasn't his fault that the evening was over, so he smiled and said,
"Good night."
He opened up the front door and walked outside, reaching into his pocket for his keys as he walked home. Lilith closed the door, sighed, and said to herself,
"I need you, Anna. Where are you?"
Anna was driving Chris back home at his urging. Chris tried desperately not to discount what Anna had told him, but he asked himself,
"Why do I always find the crazy ones?"
He asked her again,
"So, Don is the reincarnation of Alexander Dubois, and Lilith is..."
"A vampire."
Chris smirked, and Anna nearly yelled,
"Damn it, Chris, I'm not kidding here."
"Assuming you're not kidding, and you're not crazy, why should I believe you?"
Anna drove the van off to the side of the road and pulled the emergency brake. She turned to Chris, undid her seatbelt, and jumped into his lap, facing him, and then she kissed him with all of her might. When she pulled back, she said,
"She's a vampire, I'm not. I'm not under her influence in any way, but she is my best friend. Trust me, Don is in no danger, at least not from her."
"What do you mean, at least not from her?"
"If Don is Alexander, then Lilith would never harm him. But if she tells him the truth of his reincarnation and her immortality, he may not believe her."
"Oh, really?"
He smiled wickedly, hugged the crazy woman on his lap, and said,
"I think I'm going to need a little more convincing."
She smiled, leaned forward, and they kissed again. When Lilith heard the van pull into the carport, she ran to the front door and opened it frantically. Chris quickly got out of the van and walked over to meet Lilith at the door. Anna tried to catch up to him to stop him from doing anything foolish.
"Where's Don?"
"He went back home 15 minutes ago."
"Chris told me that Don's had dreams about you."
"I know. Don told me tonight."
"Yeah, well, Anna told me something about Don tonight."
"What's that?"
"That you two were made for each other. 300 years ago.
Lilith was shocked. She looked to Anna for confirmation. Anna slowly nodded. Lilith wasn't sure what to do, so she said,
"She told you the truth. I discovered myself that Don was Alexander, and yes, I'm a vampire."
"Prove it."
Chris didn't want to say it, but his anger and confusion made it slip out. Lilith's eyes glowed red as she bared her fangs, and she sarcastically asked,
"Is this good enough for you?"
Scared out of his wits, Chris fainted. Anna caught him from behind and said,
"Lilith, you didn't have to do that."
Returning to her human appearance almost instantly, she remarked,
"And you didn't have to tell him I was a vampire. Oh well, it's done. Let's bring him inside."
She picked up his feet as Anna strengthened her grip on his chest. They lifted and carried him over to their new couch and laid him down. As Lilith walked to the kitchen to wet down a dish towel, she asked,
"So what exactly did you tell him tonight?"
Anna sat down on the coffee table by the couch and replied,
"Well, after Chris told me that Don had dreams about you before he had met you, I got curious. That, combined with both Chris and I noticing Don's weak aura, suggested to me that Don is an old soul."
Lilith squeezed water out of the dish towel and walked back to the couch. As she handed the cloth to Anna, Lilith asked,
"An old soul?"
Anna folded the cloth in three and placed it on Chris's forehead.
"I had heard that people who were believed to have been reincarnated had weak auras, the theory being that their life force was weakened."
Lilith sat next to Anna and thought about the connection.
"Then what happened?"
"Well, he got curious over my questions. I don't know why, but I just couldn't lie to him. He's too good a guy. When I told him the story that you told me about Alexander, I just had to tell him what you were."
"And?"
"He freaked out and wanted to rush back here. How are we going to handle this when he wakes up?"
"I'm not sure. I'm not worried so much about Chris. I'm worried about how am I going to tell Don."
"You mean he doesn't know?"
"All he knows is that he's dreamed about me. He doesn't know that those dreams have suppressed memories from his past life."
A crimson tear rolled down Lilith's cheek. Anna wiped it away with the cloth from Chris's forehead. As the cloth was removed, Chris came too. When his eyes focused, he saw Anna's worried face looking down, and he smiled at the image. He then saw Lilith, and panic washed over his face. Anna tried calming him down by telling him that Lilith wasn't going to hurt him.
"She only freaked you out because you asked her to."
"Oh, that's a relief. Here I was thinking she was going to kill me. Go fig."
"Don't push your luck, Chris."
"Hey, oh, come on. Look, I'm sorry I didn't believe you guys, but, you know, that's not something you hear ever. What's going to happen now? What about Don?"
"I promise you I won't let Don come to harm. That means I won't tell him right away. I need us to find the right situation. Until then, you must promise me that you won't let on to him. I really want to be the one to tell Don. Agreed?"
"My best friend is dating a vampire, and I can't tell him. I was wrong. You really are crazy."
Anna started to respond, but Lilith stopped her and calmly said,
"We're not crazy. Don's confused right now. He won't understand if I tell him now. And if you tell him, he'll think you are the crazy one. So please, just promise me."
"Fine, I promise."
Lilith stood up then and said,
"Now, if you two lovebirds will excuse me, I'm going to do some work downstairs. I'll see you later."
Anna watched her friend walk sadly to the basement.
"Anna, someday you are going to have to tell me how you two got together."
Anna turned back to Chris and smiled. She thought for a second and then said,
"It really is a long story. Anyway, I'd rather talk about the two of us getting together."
This last part she said as she climbed onto the couch, straddling Chris's lap as he was still lying down. Chris, excited at the change of topic, said,
"Sounds like a plan to me."
Anna leaned forward and kissed him deeply as he hugged her tight. Meanwhile, Lilith was in the basement trying to keep herself occupied. No matter how she tried, though, she couldn't stop thinking about her first and only true love, Alexander Dubois, and his return to her as Donovan McElroy. She wept bloody tears of joy and pain as she tried to decide how and when she was going to tell him the truth. All of it. Donovan was sound asleep. The woman of his dreams had kissed him goodnight. If he didn't know better, he'd say he was in love. As he dreamed, his visions of his beloved Lily were more vibrant than they ever had been. Truly, he felt as if he had been whisked away to another time and place. You've been listening to Episode 8 of Lilith's Love, written and performed by Dan Charette. featuring the music of The Narrow Way, used with permission. Starring Michelle Selly as Lilith Thompson, Danny Cutler as Anna Foster, and Carl Long as Christian Armstrong. Sound effects courtesy of the Free Sound Project, which can be found at www.freesound.org. This audio recording is copyright 2009 and 2010 by Dan Charette and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.5 license. You are encouraged to share this audio file. Just don't sell it, don't change it, and let folks know where they can hear more. The novel, Lilith's Love, is copyright 1994 by Dan Charette, and can be found at Amazon.com or ordered at fine bookstores everywhere. This is a work of fiction. All names, characters, places, and incidents are either the product of the author's peculiar imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to any actual persons, living, dead, or undead, events, or locales is entirely coincidental. To find out more about the novel, please visit www.liliths-love.com or the author's homepage at www.danscharette.com. That's DanSharette.com.